So let me read Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I wonder what's been on your heart this week. For me, the war between Israel and Gaza, as I've watched TV, seen something of the horror that both sides have inflicted on each other, I have found it really disturbing. What a broken world we live in. Broken relationships, broken lives, broken bodies, so much pain and suffering and death and destruction. And the latest conflict just seems to continue this endless cycle of violence and revenge and retribution. So many have said the separation between the two sides, the possibility of a negotiated settlement, is greater than ever. One commentator said it's like a million miles away, so great is the gulf. We sense it would take a miracle to bring them together for dialogue and reconciliation and for healing. I heard one Palestinian speaking about the loss of 11 members of her family, saying it was like a living death for her. No doubt those Israelis who've lost loved ones would say the same. And as a result, there's a desperate sense of helplessness and hopelessness. What hope is there? What can we say as those who trust in Jesus Christ? Well, into the darkness of our broken world, we believe that God speaks as he has always done and will always do. And his word brings light even to the most desperate, helpless, and hopeless of situations, whether it's war or whether it's more personally and privately in the turmoil and trouble of our own lives. His word brings hope. As we've just been saying in Psalm 130, but we're going to see it in the healing of the leper in Luke chapter 5. 2 points this afternoon. The heart of Jesus is revealed in his compassion for the desperate. Secondly, the power of Jesus is revealed in his word of restoration. So firstly then, the heart of Jesus is revealed in his compassion. Leprosy is a dreadful disease. It leads to nerve damage so that you don't feel pain. It can lead to loss of fingers and toes and hands and feet through repeated injuries or infections. And throughout history, people with the disease have been treated as unclean and therefore to be separated from others to stop it spreading, to stop contagion. So they were cut off from society. They were put in leper colonies. You became an outcast, and there was huge social stigma. Well, here in Luke 5, we read of a leper who comes out into the open despite the stigma. So desperate is he for help. News about Jesus and his healings must have reached him. And we read he was covered with leprosy. Luke's wanting to make the point that this is a severe case. It affected his whole body. It was everywhere. And therefore, it was obvious to all here was a broken body. And for him, broken relationships. For no one would come near or could come near such a person. His need was obvious. And so desperate was he. He wasn't concerned what people thought. Could this be his only hope? So he throws himself at the mercy of Jesus. And we read this. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." There's a real expression of faith, isn't there? Faith strong enough to come out into the open. Faith strong enough to call on Jesus. You can make me clean. The question was, would Jesus be willing with this leper to cleanse him? It would take a miracle. And what does Jesus do? Well, if you think about it, it is the most beautiful thing imaginable. The thing, the act, that the leper would have been starved of for years. Human contact. Just think about you in your situation. You will have had human contact, I would imagine, today, certainly within the last 24 hours. Can you imagine being starved of that for not just days or months or years? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. That is the untouchable, the unclean, the one who would infect you and make you unclean. Jesus isn't repelled. He doesn't withdraw from such a person. But the reverse, he goes towards them. He touches them. And that shows this deep, deep compassion, going towards someone in pain, embracing them in their desperate state. He was willing to make himself unclean for their sake. This week, as you know, every week on a Wednesday, at the beginning of the day, I'm at Farley Hill School to take assembly. And I arrived as I normally do, and the children are all piling into school and excited. And a little boy tripped. I just saw him out of the corner of my eye. He tripped and he was screaming away. Blood was streaming down his legs. And in a second, his mum was there, putting her arms around him, comforting him. She wasn't worried about the blood streaming off his knee onto her trousers. That didn't faze her at all. Her compassion was evident. Compassion is that stirring in the heart when we see someone in distress that leads us to act. You'll know that later in Luke's gospel, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son, and he says, while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Now, it doesn't just stop. That's not the end of the story. It isn't just his feelings. He acts. It goes on to say this. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Well, here in Luke 5, the word compassion is not used, but it describes Jesus' approach, if you like, to the leper. And think, it's one thing being compassionate for your child who's suffering. It's another thing to be compassionate between the unlovely and the ugly and the diseased and the deformed. The parable of the prodigal son is a picture of the Father's compassion, God's compassion, not just for a broken son who'd broken his relationship, but for a broken world, and not just a physically broken world, but a spiritually broken world, cut off from God because of sin. He knows our desperate state, self-inflicted as it is. We have cut ourselves off from God, yet he doesn't withdraw. He sends his son into the world to rescue desperate people like you and I. Why? Because of his love. How is that love expressed? In his compassion causing him to act. Now, we may be in situations where we feel desperate today, where our circumstances are unbelievably tough. Maybe we're fearful for the future. Our marriage may feel precarious if we're married. Our mental health is such that we may be in a constant state of distress, or sin has just got hold of us and we're in a deep hole that we cannot talk of. Where do we go? To whom can we turn? Well, we can, like the leper, turn to Jesus in the sure and certain knowledge that we will be met with compassion. You may know those lovely words where Jesus invites us to come to him in Matthew's gospel. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He will have compassion on you and me. He hears us. He knows us better than anyone else. He cares for us and wants to make us clean. He is willing. Here then is hope. The heart of Jesus is revealed in his compassion for the desperate. Secondly, the power of Jesus is revealed in his word of restoration. Jesus said, "I am willing, be clean," and immediately the leprosy left him. I love the understatement of the Bible. It's just stunning, isn't it? Be clean, and immediately the leprosy left him. What power is that? With a word. It's one thing, of course, to say be clean. It's another thing for that to actually happen. It is a miracle revealing the uniqueness of Jesus. Remember back in chapter 4, where people, on seeing and hearing Jesus and the miracles he did, repeatedly, it says, people were amazed at his words, the power of them. Who is this who can do such things? You're left thinking. And that is the purpose of the miracles. Yes, they relieve the sufferer, but they're meant to provoke, who but God can do this? They point to him, the unique Son of God coming into the world. And with his coming, a new world breaks in to this world. Because people are healed and made whole and made clean and made new and restored to relationship with God as we were in the beginning. And they are a picture of what Jesus promises to all people everywhere who will trust in him. That a day is coming, as Revelation says, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's a great promise for the future. We are in the old order at the moment, broken as it is. But we believe that a day is coming when that will be no more. It will be reversed, will be restored. Don't we long for this day to come? The miracles of Jesus in these chapters here raise a question that a number of you asked. What is the place of miracles like this, sometimes called signs and wonders, today? We certainly had a good discussion in our growth group just 10 days ago. And I thought it might be helpful just to look away from the specifics of Luke 5 to think about this question, because it's really important. There are two views. One view says that signs and wonders, like this healing, were designed by God to help us see and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And this view says that signs and wonders were for then only, and we shouldn't seek them today. The other view argues that they should be sought today, that in the name of Jesus we should expect to see miracles today. And the reason that we don't is because we don't expect to, or we have insufficient faith. Christians hold both views. What can be said? Well, the healing ministry of Jesus and the apostles was unique. Signs and wonders were not done by Christians in general. They were the signs of the apostles. When they died out, the signs died out. Now, that doesn't mean that miracles don't happen. I'm not a cessationist. That is someone who believes they have ceased altogether. Just that they are not typical or normal, the normal way that ministry is done. If you survey church history from the apostles to today, there's never been anyone who regularly healed people the way Jesus and the apostles did. That is, instantly and completely and in the most severe cases, as we see with the leper. Most healing miracles, if you've heard about healing miracles, if you've witnessed healing miracles, they are rarely instant or complete. In other words, there's partial healing. And often it's not in such severe cases like being covered with leprosy. Now, there's more that could be said on this. There's other places that you can go. But it's really important to think about this question, and many books have been written on it. So I'm just giving you an absolute bare headline. Come and talk if you want to take it further. But the question is, when we meet, should we be praying for the sick? What's your expectation? Well, let me tell you what I think. This is me speaking. I do think Jesus and the apostles was a unique moment in Jesus's, in God's revelation that gives us the foundations for life and faith that we have in the New Testament. I do think we should pray for the sick, those who are suffering and in pain and dying, that God might heal them and bring relief. God is God. He is mighty and powerful. Nothing is impossible with him. Whether he will heal or not is up to him. Our times, our lives are in his hands. He is sovereign, and he is working for good for all those who love him. I also know that whether he heals or not, we will die. So any physical healing will be temporary in that sense. It's not for eternity. Come and chat further, as I said, if you want to, if that sort of troubles or you, or you want to know more. But there is a healing, I want to say, that each of us can know from Jesus. That he uniquely as God's Son gifts to all who trust him. A healing that brings restoration, restoration with God, a restored relationship. Because all that separates us is dealt with. We are made clean by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. What power is that that deals with all our sin? Most of us probably have a nagging feeling, has he really dealt with that little sin or big sin that I don't want to tell anybody about, that I hope never surfaces again? His power is that he has removed the record of all our wrongs. He has set us free from the penalty that instead of death brings life. How do we see the power of Jesus revealed? In the miracles, yes, but definitely in the place the world thinks is the weakest place. That is the cross, where the power of death is broken, where the enemy of God, the devil, is defeated. With a word, his last word brings complete restoration. His last word, it is finished. So here is found hope. Jesus is the hope of the world. How will healing come to Israel and Gaza and the West Bank and to Ukraine and to Yemen and to Myanmar? How will healing come into the communities we're involved in our own families? Well, by Jesus, through faith in him. He can bring healing. Restoration of relationships with people and with God. Do we know his compassion that brings that healing? Are we those who have received what we don't deserve, healing and cleansing from him? If we have, let me read some words that Paul says to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, this is what he says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In other words, if we have experienced the compassion of Jesus, so we are to offer that compassion to others, to go towards those desperate and helpless and hopeless and in need, and to bring the word of hope, the gospel of Jesus. The biggest obstacle to us doing that is that our gaze is often fixed not on others, but on ourselves. So it'd be good to pray today, as a result of reading of the healing of the leper, that God will give us eyes to see and the compassion of Jesus that causes us to go towards those who are suffering, bringing the hope that we have received in Jesus.